Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Saturday, blessed feast of Saint Joseph, the terror of demons, one of the many titles given to him. And welcome to episode 332 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast. Tonight, talking about the film Idiocracy, which I just saw earlier today for the first time in my life. Note, it's the first time that I've ever seen it. I've only seen it once, and so therefore some references will probably still go over my head, whereas some luckily will not. Before going any further, though, please make sure you smash that like button, light up that fire button if you're watching over on Odyssey, and course, make sure you have that bell notification turned on. That way you know every time a new video or live stream goes live on the channel. As Stephanie has already let people know in the chat, Tina will be joining us just a little bit later. She is indeed out. So I think she is planning to join later if she can. But if not, we've got Stephanie B. We've got the General of the Valks with us today. And thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your Saturday to come and join us as Philly the Hobbit Allen over on DLive has already dropped a diamond donation over there with the message attached to it saying, hey, well, hello to you. Thank you for being here. Also, Vincent Womack over on Odyssey starting things off by saying, greetings and salutations. Hello, hello, hello. Let's say hello to some people before starting to talk about some things tonight. Let us see. We have got Derek McManus. What is going on? Hope you are doing well. I only bow to God. God bless you, good sir. And he tagged then also to mention that he says here, my fiance was in an accident. She has bandages wrapped around her head and her body. I'd appreciate prayers for her, my brother in Christ. Her name is Odessa. God Almighty be with you. Well, thank you very much. I only bow to God, and absolutely, my prayers will be with you, will be with her for her quick healing. Based on what you said, it sounds like we definitely should be thankful that injuries were not worse, but still, obviously, a terrible thing. So praying for you, praying for her recovery, and thank you for sharing that. So that way we can get a prayer train going in her direction. We got Fuzz Aldrin in the chat. Hail to you, Fuzz Aldrin. Says, Idiocracy equals Brando's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes. Yes, indeed. I get that reference. I indeed get that reference. It's a fun little film. It's a short little film, about an hour and 20-ish minutes. And I had fun with it. I thought it was quite fun. And it's also amazing how many things it gets right in a lot of ways, how many things we can definitely find correlations to in our modern day society, especially when it comes to people who know nothing determining how our future will become. I think that there's a lot of commentary that can be said there. There is 70B. Heyo, what's up, 70B? Andrew Hoyle, what's going on, good sir? He's a member on the channel. We got Bruce in the chat. Hail to you. Alex McCarthy, what's going on? He says, howdy, Odin, how's it going? How's Thor? He is asleep. Accidentally watched Star Trek Lower Decks. God, that was terrible. How do you accidentally watch a series? That's what I want to know. Is this saying that you accidentally watched one episode of the show? Or are you trying to claim that you accidentally watched the entire series? One of them, you can barely make an argument for, if any. The other, there's no excuse. So interesting to hear your thoughts on that and how exactly this so-called accident happened. IRA Darth Aggie, welcome to the chat. Thank you very much for being here. We got John Lee in the chat as well. Thank you very much. We got Quatrina VR. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here today. Andrew Hoyle, you're still wrong, good sir. You might be a member, and I might highlight your comments even if you don't tag me, but it is still purple. You might need to adjust your television or whatever it is that you're watching on, because you may not have correct color accuracy. Again, Philly the Hobbit Allen, thank you very much for that diamond donation on DLive. I very much appreciate that. Stephanie B. then says, you just saw it? Wow, it's an old movie. By old, you mean what, 2005? I'm pretty sure it's 2004, 2005 that film came out, so it's not that old. I mean, old films to me, you have to at least start in the 80s. That's when things start to be, I think, considered to be old. But even then, I think an argument could easily be made that no, you have to go back to the 30s and 40s for films to truly be considered to be, quote, old. I like the term classic. The term classic, I think, is a much better idea, is a much better promise, rather, much better premise. Also, just as a reminder, if you have a comment or question, if you are a member on the YouTube channel, you do not have to worry about tagging me. But if you are not a member, don't you worry. I don't have a paywall for reading comments and questions. All that I ask that you do is put at Odin, so not the channel name. I just want you to put at Odin at the very beginning of your comment, not at the end of the comment, the very beginning of the comment. It helps me figure out that you're trying to get my attention, and it really does mean a lot. So, please, if you do have a comment or question, at Odin at the very beginning of your comment, as you see several people who are regulars here have been doing, hopefully you get the idea, because I would love to read your questions and to talk about the things that you want to talk about to the best of my ability. I am but a simple man. Keely Chow, what is going on? We got Shorty Story, the modern major general of the channel. What's going on, Laura? Thank you for being here. Nathan Slay, to act to say, good evening to you, good sir. And surprise, last night I found a David Lynch film that I liked, Lost Highway. I still do not wish to give any more opportunities to David Lynch. He's kind of a lost cause in my mind. Alex McCarthy says, I've seen Idiocracy and couldn't get into it. Wow, really? So Alex McCarthy, the man who likes terrible films, couldn't get into Idiocracy. I will point this out. Do I think Idiocracy is the funniest film of all time, or that it's even one of the best comedies of all time? No. I appreciate Idiocracy because of the simple things. Because of the simple things. Because especially it is able to, I think, show itself to be prophetic in many ways, because this was made in the early 2000s, and it was likely commenting on the time and the era that it was existing in. And I think that so much of it is still relevant. And I think that especially when they go ahead to 500 years in the future from that point and show you what life is like, and then explain as well why and how society gets to the point that it does, I don't know. I think that there is a lot of, interesting messages, to say the very least, in there, especially when it comes to, I think one of my favorite commentaries in there, which is one that maybe some people didn't quite get, was there was the one couple where both of them, both the man and the woman in the marriage, were like, it's just not the right time. And they were all heavily focused on their career. And then eventually gets to the point where one of the spouses dies, and then the other spouse is like, well, I froze my egg, so hey, just gotta wait for the right person to come along. And I think that that actually is a commentary that's very still relevant to today's world, to this overemphasis that we have on career, and really this de-emphasis that we have on the family, and just how important it is for us to instill the concept of family and family values. I mean, the family unit is one of the most important things in our culture, in our society, and there are so many things that show us that when a family is not present, it is actually a lot harder for, or statistically at the very least, a lot harder for individuals to be as successful. Basically, if you were to take families that are broken versus families that are whole, you've noticed that children tend to succeed a lot more in those family units that remain together versus ones where you see types of separation. Again, that's not the rule, of course, but I do think that there is some truth to be said to that. And I think that the issue that we had back in 2005 all the way up until today is that there's just been this huge push to work, 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 you know, get yourself this career, get yourself, you know, and we kind of talked about this a little bit on Friday Night Tights actually last night about how schools are just these machines trying to basically put people into thousands upon thousands of dollars into debt, all to the point of them not really fully understanding that there's so much more to life than, one, a career, and two, so much more to life than just having a lot of money. And I think that that's one of the things, again, it's a very, again, this is not something that the film really harps on, but it's one of these things where it's happening and it's mentioned and, you know, goes past it. But then my brain's like, there's actually a lot of really deep truth to that one sequence that they show of that. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So again, I don't think necessarily that it's a hilarious movie, but I do think that it actually has a lot of really important concepts that really, I think are still relevant in today's world. All right, Brightburn, what's going on? Says, hello, Allfather. Do you have a favorite Pixar film moment? I like that moment from Toy Story 2 where they canonize the You've Got a Friend in Me song with Tom Hanks as a puppet singing it. Yeah, that's a pretty nice moment. For all of Pixar film history, I feel like Up has a lot of really great moments in it, to be perfectly honest. I think that still to this very day, I hold that the opening sequence to Up is one of the most beautiful pieces of animation, is one of the most beautiful pieces of storytelling in all of Pixar and in all of animated film history. They're able to condense down an entire life into about 5 minutes, and they tell a better love story than so many of the films that come out today. Not just a better love story, they tell a better story in those like 5 minutes in the beginning of Up than most of the films that come out these days. So I'm going to stick with that. The first 5 minutes of Up, probably one of my favorite moments. Let's see, Slicer Neon says here, Hail Man, you reviewing Turning Red? Just curious, don't do it for anyone's sake, by all means. I am skipping it. Yeah, I've seen some people talk about it, and I don't really have a desire to see it. I tend to be a lot more open to the Pixar films, right, versus the Disney animated, the solely Disney animated ones. But I don't know. There's just something about the trailer to that film I just have no interest in. It's like, okay, it's about a human that turns into an I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's for me. Doesn't seem like it's for me. I feel it a habit to go, and thank you so very much. Thank you again so very much for joining and for also sending that diamond earlier. I appreciate it, man. All right, Joey Horn in the chat. What's going on, Joey Horn? I feel like it's been a while. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for being a member. Ingrid Pizza, what is going on? Welcome. David L., who is a member, says, hopefully River is eating. Concerned, I have not heard her. No, she's sleeping. She is snoring. So she is beyond eating at this point. She is snoring. And I don't like how you always assume and insinuate that I don't feed her, because I do all the time. Jacques Le Suave, what's going on? Jacques Le Suave over on Odyssey, who says, I'm sure it was just a coincidence that the movie came out in 2006 and the Bush Jr. presidency was 2001 to 2009. Yeah, I definitely think that there are some correlations to be made. But keep in mind that the president in the future is nothing like Bush Jr. So I don't know really exactly if we can really find those types of correlations there, at least on that level specifically. But yeah, I mean, I always like films that just mock the current era. And that's the problem is that, and really you can date it, you know, not to get too political here. You know, I try not to the best of my ability, but it's amazing to me how much everything changed in 2008, because it almost seems like in 2008, when Obama was elected, all of a sudden now you couldn't have the same level of commentary. You couldn't have the same level of comedic making fun of the presidency anymore. It was like it just became this thing that you just don't do. It was like you're anathema if you ever even think about it, consider it, right? Because you're an ist, you're a phobe. And then, of course, when Trump gets elected, now all of a sudden it comes back in full force, but it's only from one direction. And now that we're with Biden again, now you're seeing it not to the same extent with Obama, but it's just something that has always bothered me. It's like, no, I don't care who's in office. I don't care what political party is in charge. I don't care about the person itself. What I care about is, okay, who is the actual individual person? What are they actually doing? And is it something that should be criticized or not on an objective level? And I think that we can look back the last several decades and say that there are objective flaws with pretty much all of the world leaders, not just here in America, by the way. As McCarthy says, was one episode wasn't funny in the slightest. Yep. Sounds about right. I Only Bow to God says, do you like John Wayne movies? I love Rio Bravo and The Quiet Man. He's my favorite Western star. I do like them. I wouldn't say I'm a fan. There's a lot of films I have just not seen from him. So when I say I'm not a fan, that doesn't mean that I don't like him. It just means there's a lot of films I have yet to see. In fact, I had my first John Wayne, my first official, okay, this is a John Wayne movie that I am sitting down to watch just this past year. So that kind of gives you hopefully a little bit of an insight. So I've seen Stagecoach, and I have also seen, I believe it was The Quiet Man as well. That's the one when he goes off to Ireland and has the house, which I really liked. So I do like those films. I wouldn't call myself necessarily a diehard fan, though, just because there's just so many things that I haven't seen, and I just don't think it would be right for me to call myself a diehard fan when I haven't seen so many things. Let's see. Waiting for the Orville. What's going on? He says, good evening. I'll be with you for just a bit tonight. How is the fam? Fam's doing great. Thank you for being here. Victor Fontaine in the chat. What's going on? Nathan Slay tagged to say, I've been watching a couple great anime films, My Neighbor Totoro and Akira. If you haven't seen them yet, I highly recommend them. Yeah, My Neighbor Totoro is great. I love that film. It is so much fun. It's just a nice, just if you just want to have a wholesome time with a movie, I feel like My Neighbor Totoro is a fantastic one. Akira, I will say, I am not as big of a fan of. I saw that movie within the last couple of years. I think we either did a movie watch party with it, or I did a review for it after the fact, because I think maybe been Bruce or someone had gotten the film for me, and I gave it a shot, and it just was a little bit too much for me. The ending especially was when I started to go like, oh, this is just a little too much going on here. This is a little too crazy for me, I think. But yeah, My Neighbor Totoro, though, I definitely have a lot of positive things to say about that. Vincent Womack tagged to say, are you saying I'm old or now classic? I would say if you are in the older demographic, you're a classic. I would say you're a classic. It's the nicer thing to say. It's the nicer thing to say. Oh, man. Stephanie B coming in to say, don't get mad because you just now saw a movie from 2005. Stephanie B, I feel like you are just trying to take over the role of Tina tonight, giving me a hard time while she's not here. Society Reviews, what's going on, man? Welcome back. Greg Klein, what is going on? Yes, absolutely. Just a few hours away from the third Sunday of Lent. So blessed Lent to you, Greg. I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah, and hope everyone's Lent has been going pretty well. I've been having a pretty good one myself. Definitely some things that have, and this is what happens all the time every year, right? There's things that you plan for. Sometimes you plan a little bit too much. The important thing is you recognize those areas where you are falling a little bit in plans that you had, especially in regards to, you know, maybe adding, for me at least, you know, adding additional prayers, not being as consistent with the additional prayers, adding on to the additional prayers that I'm already doing. But it's been great. And I want to give a special shout out to Freya, to my beloved wife, because even though she is not Catholic, she has actually decided to kind of unite, with me with this and has, been going along with it with me. So she's been, you know, abstaining on certain days and fasting on certain days, and that's been really nice. So I hope everyone's Lent has been going very, very well. Jason Ebenstein, what's going on? Thank you for being here. Ingrid, what's going on, Ingrid Plaza? He tagged to say, I love Idiocracy. It's perfectly predicted how a reality TV star celebrity and non-politician in Trump could ever become president. It's also predicted how crazed oblivious his followers are. Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong here. I am someone who is going to be critical of all people, because if we're going to say that, I think it also is a commentary about how someone like Joe Biden can get into office when he clearly has dementia. So it goes both ways there, all right? You know, and that's how I always be. You know, I'm someone where I will tick off people on both sides of the aisle, because at the end of the day, both sides are terrible. What I can say is that out of the ones that we've had more recently, there were a lot better things that happened during the time of Trump than there were during the other presidents that we've had. He's not a perfect person. He did a lot of bad things that I don't like. He's made a lot of mistakes, but we got to at least be honest here. So Let's just say that there weren't any new words going on, new wars going on under the last administration. However, again, have to have criticism because it's worthy of criticism. He did at one point have military action going on in a foreign country, and that is something I am not okay with, no matter who the president is. I don't like any of them, to be perfectly honest. I don't like any of them. Bruce says, Idiocracy is a watch anytime stupid fun movie. I think that's definitely one of the best ways to describe it for sure. Nathan Slay says, Idiocracy is a film? I thought the topic was the idiocracy of Hollywood or Biden. I mean, I think you could definitely apply the concept of idiocracy to our modern day country, which I think you can really go back even before 2005. Which is why I think the film, you know, I think Mike Judge was making a commentary, not about just only the current era that he was living in, but the time previous. And also I think looking ahead to the time to come as well. And I think that it was perfect in the way it was commenting on the time, commenting on where things had become. Cause really we can look back to the age of television as being that time in which the concept of celebrity presidents, at least in the United States, you know, we can talk about other countries too, but in the United States specifically, the celebrity president was born with the age of television, right? Kennedy was really the first celebrity president. You then, of course, go to, you know, people like Reagan, right? Obviously had a very strong presence there as an actor turned politician, you know, entering into the state of politics. You then, of course, have Clinton, who I think kind of, you know, brought that to a whole other level. Like Clinton just completely drove that to the point where he did so many terrible things. And yet people said, I don't care about the terrible things he did because there's a D next to his name. He should retain power. That, I think, is really one of the first times that in such a clear and public way, we started to realize, oh, yes, There's a lot of hypocrisy here, and people need to start to realize and start to understand that just because of the letter next to someone's name does not mean that we owe them blind allegiance. And I think that we started to see that in the years to come after the fact. But I think we can definitely find an origin point, really, with the age of television, especially. Alrighty then. Let's see. David L., who is a member, says, Idiocracy explains 2020 election. Yeah, I think it explains a lot of things just in general. I think because you can go before then, too, because you can go back. I mean, let's talk about just the last couple election cycles. You know, obviously, you can make correlations there with Trump. You can also make correlations there with Obama, because what was it that people were saying when they were asked, why are you voting for Obama? It's like, because I'm going to get that free phone. I'm going to get da-da-da-da-da. So you have this understanding of, again, idiotic people on all sides who don't understand what's actually going on, who don't understand how things work, who will vote for anyone if they are popular, if they're going to say something that's going to just get you generally excited in, you know, in a general sense, not because they have a policy that's really good, not because you actually understand the policies that they have going forward. So I think it's so incredibly important to understand, you know, because I can see how so many people could say, oh, Idiocracy, it was all about, you know, it was predicting Trump. It's like, no. I think that it was talking about the current state of politics at that time in 2005. And that in and of itself helps us to understand why we are where we are today. And I think it goes through all of the presidents since that time. So I think anyone who's going to try and push it one direction or the other kind of misses the point. Because if you looked at someone like Mike Judge, especially, that was back during an age where you made fun of everybody. You were making fun of all people. You know, that's what comedy was supposed to be about. That's what something you still see with places like South Park, for instance, right? And I think it's so important for us to have that that proper understanding. Otherwise, we fall into these camps where we become so isolated from one another that we can't have conversations, that we can't have actual legitimate conversations, that we can't actually build up and build off of each other and build a sense of community. And this is the reason why, you know, bringing my own faith background into this, this is the reason why I'm such a proponent of the concept of subsidiarity, right? We need to be local. That is where we need to focus, right? Not just local elections, right? Because elections are just a part of it. Local culture. How do we build up our local culture? How do we bring about the changes that we want to see? How do we, in our own actions, in the things that we buy, in the things that we invest our money in, how do we impact the world around us? Because if we're going to put our faith and hope in these saviors at the international or national level, we're just asking to continue to push ourselves further and further into tyranny and authoritarianism. Lance Mala says, wrestling talk. What did you think of AEW Revolution pay-per-view a few weeks ago? Your favorite match of the card? Loved it. I thought AEW's pay-per-view was phenomenal. I think all of the matches were great. That's the thing I love about AEW is that every single match is good. There are no matches that I'd skip. I mean, WWE for a long time, there'd be matches where I'd be like, all right, this is the bathroom break. This is, you know, I don't care about this match. I don't care about this at all. And AEW Revolution didn't have that. To say that I have a favorite, though, is also hard to choose because all of them have so many different amazing dynamics. I thought the tag match was great for different reasons because it was just a great tag team match. The opening bout between Jericho and Eddie Kingston was also phenomenal as well. The title match, of course, was phenomenal. So I guess if I had to choose one, I'd say I really liked the Eddie Kingston match a lot. I thought it really set the tone quickly. I thought it also allowed for both of those performers to really be able to show off the fact that they're more than just what some people think them to be. So anyway, I know most people watching don't care much about wrestling, but Only Matter God says, have you seen The Gentleman? It's really good. One of the few Guy Ritchie movies I like. I like most of Guy Ritchie's stuff, man. He just had a film last year, Wrath of Man, which was fantastic. But The Gentleman, I think, is probably his best film in a long time. It's one of my favorites of his. I can say that for sure. I agree with your general assessment. I thought it was phenomenal. It also is probably the best Hugh Grant performance I've ever seen. Hugh Grant is what makes that movie as amazing as it is. And it is phenomenal. It is great. So, definitely. Joey Horn, who is a member, says here, every time someone tells me they don't want to have children in today's world, I explain Idiocracy to them. Exactly. I think that's a great point too, Joey Horn, right? It's that, you know, when you think about, and I think also too, beyond just explaining Idiocracy to people, I think it also should be a moment of, this is why education is so important. And by education, I don't mean this is why you need to send your children to public schools and have them indoctrinated. You know, what it means is, no, this is the reason why just education in a general sense is so incredibly important. And guess what? Education starts where? At the home. And this is why, if anything, the focus should be, okay, what are we then going to do to educate our children, to raise them right, to teach them a moral structure, to teach them a moral framework, so that when they do enter into the world, which is going to be impacted by a lot of this nonsense, they then have the tools and they have the strength to be able to fight against it. It means that we got to be straightforward. It means that we have to be honest, right? It means that we can't beat around the bush. That's one of the things that I love about the classes that I'm able to teach, because we deal with issues where I can't say, oh, we can't talk about that, you know, within reason, of course. But we deal with moral topics, right? The first half of my year, we deal with moral theology. And so a lot of the questions are about morality, about what is right and what is wrong. And I think that those are the discussions that are so incredibly important to have, because if you don't have those discussions, not just in school, but more importantly, in the home, where a lot of these discussions need to happen. That's why one of my favorite things that I hear anytime a student or a parent tells me, hey, I really like that you were talking about this because it actually led to me and my daughter or me and my son having a long discussion about it at home. I'm like, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. That's exactly what I wanted to happen, was to get those gears rolling for them to start thinking about these things and then lead to discussion. Right, it's not just about evangelizing one person. It's about, all right, evangelize so that this person has the desire, or at the very least, the question leading to further questioning. Because that is a common misconception. Questioning is a good thing. Having questions, especially even in the realm of faith, is a good and healthy part of faith. We need to have questions. All right, let's see. Rob D. tagged to say, saw your video on Fantastic Beasts 3 today. The movie will be lucky to hit $500 million. Fantastic Beasts 2 is the lowest grossing wizarding film, deviated heavily from the books and Johnny Depp thing. Yeah, I think that it's, you know, I kind of know, like, the reason why I think that Fantastic Beasts 3 is in a lot of trouble is actually because of the reaction my wife gave to the second one. The first film, you know, because we watched both of those films together in theaters. The first film, she was like, you know, oh, yeah, I like parts of it. And even I was like, it wasn't the greatest film in the world. But, you know, there are some things in there that I thought were enjoyable. Some of the characters were kind of fun and everything. Okay, whatever. But then my least favorite part of that, the thing that kind of warned me that, all right, things are about to go downhill, is Colin Farrell's character in the first Fantastic Beast all of a sudden transitions into Johnny Depp. And I remember the moment that happened, because I went into it without knowing a lot of anything as far as casting and spoilers and such. So when that moment happened, I just facepalmed, because I'm like, no, not another Johnny Depp crazy makeup, crazy character. I've had enough of those. I've had enough. And so that was kind of the warning sign for me. But my wife was like, hey, it was okay. It's not that great, but it was okay. The second film, though, this getting back to the point. When that film ended, the whole time that film was going on, I'm like, oh my goodness, this thing is terrible. This is one of the worst things I've seen in such a long, like, what is this? This is nonsense. My wife looks over to me at the end of the movie, and she's just like, all right, yep, yeah, it wasn't good. And so I was like, okay, my wife is a diehard Harry Potter fan. Books, not movies. She's a diehard book fan. And so for her, it's not just that the movie was bad. It was that she was like, wait a minute, wait a minute. None of this is working. None of this makes any sense. None of this is, you know, respecting source material in any way whatsoever. And so I don't think that she is willing or is open to see the third film anyway. So that kind of gave me the idea and kind of gave me that initial concept that this third one was going to be in a lot of trouble. So when you look at the box office of the first Fantastic compared to the second one, I don't see a way in which this one could possibly can possibly expect to do well. And based off of the budgets of the other films, again, the second film had around a $200 million budget. So this film, we could expect to be around $200 million as well. This film needs to make $500 million worldwide to break even. And right now, the early indications are the film will maybe, at best, get to $150 million total domestically. That means it has to make a crap ton of money just in the foreign markets. And I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening, especially since they're not going to be able to rely on China for this film because there's magic in it. And those communists in China are crazy. Let's see. Quatrina VR says, any idea of Sonic 2 box office performance? Seems really appealing to the fans of the original game instead of insulting the fans. It's the only movie I'm planning to take my 8-year-old. Yeah, I'm personally not looking forward to it, to be honest. I liked the first Sonic film in concept. And the reason why I say it that way is when the first trailer came out for it, it looked terrible. It looked awful. The design was just atrocious. It got destroyed by fans, and then the director, Jeff Fowler, said, hey, I'm going to listen to the fans. And, okay, we made mistakes. We're going back to the drawing board. We're redesigning this character. We're going to delay this film, and we're going to do it right. And that gained me so much respect for that director. Where I was like, hey, I had no desire to see this before. And even with the redesign, I'm like, I'm still not all that crazy about this as a concept. It just doesn't really seem like my cup of tea. But I'm like, I'm going to see this and I'm committing to seeing this because I want to support Jeff Fowler. I want to support this type of a director who can admit when he's made a mistake, when he can admit that there's a problem with the film and is going to address to fix it and cares about what the fans think. That being said, Sonic 2, it just doesn't really feel like, it doesn't feel like Sonic to me. It really doesn't. It's a hard property to try and adapt. And I don't think they did a good job as far as their voice acting is concerned. To be perfectly honest, and I know this is kind of cliche, and I know that some people are probably tired of him, just as I am tired of the Johnny Depp shtick. I think if Sonic had been voiced by Ryan Reynolds, I'd be a lot more excited. I'm just being honest. So I'm not all that excited for Sonic 2. I will say the box office seems like it could be good for it. It seems like it could be on the good side of things going on. I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier in my video. I think I had mentioned what the projections were. It's projected to make 40 to 55 million in its opening weekend, which will probably mean it'll be number one the weekend it comes out, April 8th. It's projected to make between 115 and 165 million in the domestic marketplace. Now, if we understand that within the context of the film itself, there is no actual production budget for the film, so we do need to take that into account. If we take this into account with the first film, it had an $85 to $90 million budget. I think we can argue that this new one will be north of $100 million if the first film was $85 to $90. The box office total for the first Sonic film was around $319.7 million. And let's go ahead and let me see if I can pull up the numbers for Sonic. That way I can hopefully give this as full of an explanation as I can. So the domestic end total for Sonic the Hedgehog, and again, this film came out in 2020. So this was one of those films that came out during the midst of the the very early stages of the pandemic and was able to be successful. So it made over $304 million. It made $146 million domestically. So right now, Sonic 2 is projected to be between 115 and 165. So if that number holds, and if that number is able to be matched by a similar number internationally that the first Sonic film did, it can get to $300 million. And if it gets to $300 million, there's a good chance then that it gets to the break-even point that it might need, depending on its budget. So I would say it's looking okay, but it's not nearly as great or as solid as some people who might be interested or excited about the film might have any, it's not nearly as strong as some people might hope it to be. All right, David L. is a member, says, I found Idiocracy depressing because it's too true and inescapable. And again, I think that's if you go into it with that type of a mindset. Whereas for me, I look at it and say, okay, no, this is very much something we can look at our own world and our own reality and see. There's a lot of correlations to. And then I get more motivated by it. I said, okay, how do we fix that? How do we change that? Right? And I think that's so incredibly important. I Only About a God says, better love story than Twilight. Yes, the first 5 minutes of Up, easily a better love story than Twilight. But again, it's even beyond Twilight at this point. Nathan Slay says, best Pixar moment, how, hey Buzz, you're flying. This isn't flying, this is falling with style. That is a pretty great moment. That is a pretty great moment. Rogue Disney tagged to say, thoughts on Moon Knight, do you think it's a good trailer? I've only seen the first trailer. I didn't think it was a great trailer. I didn't think it was a terrible trailer. I'm more hyped about the actors involved with the project because I think that they're talented. Whether or not the writing is any good, I don't trust anything from Marvel these days. I really don't. So I can be excited about actors all I want, but if the writing isn't there, if you don't have good writing, you don't really have a movie, or at least not a good movie. Jeremy Zakowski says, what's going on? He says, I binge watch Demon Slayer, included the movie, and love it. I can't wait for season 3. Insuke is my favorite character from that series. Nice. Yeah, a lot of people have been mentioning the newer film that came out this weekend, which is based off of an anime. And we're like, you need to go see this. You need to go see this film, Jujutsu Kaisen. And apparently HBO Max has the first season. So I thought that, typically with animes, I'm like, oh, this must've been a show that's been going on for a long time. Apparently this is a show that's like relatively new and it has a movie. So one season, definitely something I could potentially, get into. But I remember when, was it Mugen Train came out, for Demon Slayer. I remember a lot of people said that that was also pretty good. So I don't know. I also, I'm working right now on a potential series of streams with a group of Catholic commentators that I did a stream with earlier in the year, actually, with where we talked about Lord of the Rings. It was a really great discussion. Ryan Grant and Anthony Stein, for any fellow Catholics out there who are into the Catholic social sphere, you may know of them, and they're awesome. They're just so down to earth, and they're so helpful just to me. It's just my own faith journey. I've learned so much. Anthony Stein, most especially of all, with his daily videos, have just always been fantastic. You know, all that's to say, I also have to, I've committed myself to start watching for that, because we plan on doing a series of streams on this topic, and that's Deep Space Nine. I'm not a Star Trek person. I've seen the newer films. I've seen the first two of the original Star Trek films. I'm much more of a Star Wars person in general. So, you know, Star Trek's kind of always been over my head. But we want to do Deep Space Nine because apparently there's a lot of really great, like, Catholic undertones, a lot of really great Catholic morality concepts that you can really connect with. So because of that, I'm going to start watching that. I'm about two episodes in. So I think that's probably where my intention as far as binge watching shows is going to be. That one's the toughest one for me to get into, because the guy who is playing the captain, like the lead role in Deep Space Nine, he's just so cheesy as an actor, and it's driving me nuts. Because every time he gives like an emotional cue of any kind, I cringe, because I just don't think he's that talented of an actor. And again, I know this is the very beginning of the show. I know this is the introduction to the character, but I was just like, every time I'm like, it's hard to watch for me. It's hard to watch. But I'm willing. I'm willing to dedicate my time into it. David L., who's a member, says, Dan Quayle is a Mensa candidate when compared to Brandon, incompetence always promoted in the corporate world. I don't think I quite understood that altogether, but Borg Pork, what's going on? Just says, Hondo, just another red shirt. Hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. Awesome one. Hail to you. Fuzz Aldrin tagged and says, my favorite John Wayne was The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. That is also, okay, so that's another film that I also saw featuring John Wayne. Yeah, that's a great film too. Phenomenal. It also features Jimmy Stewart. Merry Christmas, movie house. Merry Christmas, you beautiful old building alone. It may not be a good impersonation, but it's one that I always enjoy doing. Brightburn says, what are your thoughts on Batman's sidekick, Robin? I recently saw a video essay about someone defending the concept of Robin. He compared Batman to Sherlock Holmes, and Robin is Batman's Watson. I can kind of see that to a certain level. I've never had a problem with Robin. I really haven't. Unless it's in the Batman and Robin film. Other than that, I've never had a problem with Robin. In the cartoon especially, yeah, I think it's really awesome that, you know, he's taken under the wing of Bruce Wayne. There's that connection that they have, that this father-son connection that they have, as both also connecting as brothers in a certain way, as orphans. So, yeah, I think that I have no issue with Robin. None whatsoever. Now, I don't know the rich history of Robin, because I know that you have, you know, different Robins, and certain Robins became other characters, like Nightwing, and was one became the Red Hood or something. I don't know a lot about that. I honestly don't. I wish I did, but my brain only can take so much information at a time. Forever Sci-Fi, hail to you. Nathan Slay, which anime is better, My Neighbor Totoro or Ponyo? I have not seen Ponyo. I own it. It's on my list of ones to see, but I would have to go with My Neighbor Totoro because it's the only one I've seen. So, whoops, I'm channeling Tina. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't appreciate the sass. Only Bad Guy says, you should watch The Searchers next for a John Wayne movie. I've heard good things about it. Definitely one that's been recommended to me. All right, over to Odyssey. Sorry, it's been a little while. About 13 minutes ago, Jacques Le Suave said, speaking of Mike Judge, have you seen the Tales from the Tour Bus TV show? Two animated seasons of larger-than-life stories from the world of music told by people who live them. No, haven't even heard of that. Interesting, though. The R over on Odyssey says, hail, just caught you talking about DS9. You will enjoy that. Give it time. Yes, that is what my partners have said. give it a little bit of time, give it time to develop. The lead guy as well, the lead captain, give him some time too. So yeah, I'm definitely willing to do that, but it does require time. Visit Womack says, I'm having a small Lent. You might say a lentil. Ha. Bruce says, I might even pop Idiocracy in the player after the stream. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Captain Trek, what's going on, man? Captain Trek, I believe, is a member on the channel. Thank you very much for being a member and for joining tonight. Awesome One says, Odin isn't president. No, no, I'm not. And I would never want to be. Ever, ever, ever. I would never put my family through the nonsense that is attached to any type of public leadership. Not my thing. Not my thing. Bryant Barth, hail to you, good sir. Vincent Womack tagged, but no one is projecting more than the left. Everything they said about Trump was going to do is exactly what Biden is doing now. And again, I definitely think that there is a lot to be said for that, Vince Womack. However, at the same time, I do think that no matter what, you know, quote, team you're on, you're going to have the rose-tinted glasses view. That, and I've always tried to make that as clear as I can, that I try to be, and I don't mean this in any type of like, oh, I'm just so fancy. I try to always approach it in a much more nuanced way because I am prone to those instant gut reactions. I've done that. You know, it's something that I've always struggled with. And so something that I always strive to do, especially in the classroom, especially when I'm in a public setting, like putting my ideas out and really working my ideas out as I talk about them, because that's just how my ADD brain works. I have to also understand that there has to be nuance. And that's what I think has been so lost. That's what's been lost in all of this, is any sense or understanding of a nuanced discussion. You know, we're so used to saying, you know, red bad or evil, you know, red evil, blue evil, or vice versa, right? Or one or the other. And I think it's so important for us to step back and say, no, there's good things that come from all people. There's bad things that come from all people, in especially the realm of politics. How do we determine the good from the evil? And how do we determine who is the best for a given set of circumstances? And I am not going to be one to ever say, especially in the modern era, that the person currently in charge is the best for any of what's going on. I would say the opposite. And it has, guess what? Nothing to do with the letter next to his name, and everything to do with the kind of person he is. I guess that's what I'm trying to get down to. It's about the person, not the party. If the person is influenced by the party and the party is in favor of evil things, okay, it's worth talking about those things and criticizing those things specifically. But at the end of the day, we're all people. We're all people. We're all individuals. We have faults. We have strengths. And the question that we, especially in the realm of talking about and determining certain things about people, is, okay, how do we separate who someone really is versus maybe a facade that is being put on in the end as well? Yeah, I'm not a typical fan of Westerns, Nathan Slay. We've talked about this before several times. Save it to be says, please play Excommunicado for Joey Horn. Why? What did Joey Horn do? I have not seen him do or say anything. First Sci-Fi says, I don't think Clinton got more than 50% of the vote, but still won thanks to Perot's quest for vengeance against the Bush family. Yeah, and again, you got to have that more nuanced approach. I still personally liked the concept of what Perot did, because what did he do? He showed, guess what? You can have more than two options. You can have more than two options. And the sad thing is that we as a society did not take what that left open the possibility for and run with it, and instead let the machine, let the establishment machine, which knows neither party because it's a part of both parties, and did not let that push us down the path that we, I think we should all go on, which is to blow up the two-party system. And the only way we can do that is having something like Pro. That's why, to me, something that this is kind of going back a little ways, but back during 2016, I had a hope. And my hope was I wanted Trump to drop out of the Republican primary. I wanted him to run as an independent. I wanted Bernie Sanders to drop out of the Democrat primary, and I wanted him to run third party. Imagine if you had had general Republican Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and then Bernie Sanders. You want to know why? That would have been awesome, because I don't think any person would have gotten to the 270 electoral votes. Now, again, that's a dream. That's a dream. That's something that it didn't happen that way. A lot of things would have needed to happen for that to actually happen. And even that happening in the way that I'm viewing it would have been a very huge long shot. Would have been a long shot, right? I'm not denying that. But that's the kind of mindset I have when it comes to that thing. Because I don't like any of them. I don't like any of them. It's not my thing. We should care about the person. Society of Reviews, you're wrong. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion can also be wrong. So, especially if we're talking about in comparison to the WWE. The WWE is complete trash. AEW at least has wrestling. River Sci-Fi, South Park had it right. It's always a giant douche versus a turd sandwich. Amen, brother. Dude, South Park has had some of the best episodes in general. Some of the best social commentary of all time. And I think their episodes on the elections have always just been spot on. Asper Riley says, and now the Hardy Boys are in AEW with their classic theme song. They are. But now they're just the Hardys. Which really, I'm glad they've changed it, because they're far past the age of being boys. Nate Slay says, I don't care how many people call it terrible or dated. Point Break is still... Dude, Point Break's great. I have no idea the relevancy to anything it is that we're talking about tonight. Nathan Slay, king of the topic change, but I agree. It's a great film. It's a great film. There's no need to apologize for anything like that, because it's just fact. Left Cross, what is going on? Thank you very much for being here tonight. Just Dave tagged to say, we have to teach our children to be thoughtful and respectfully question what's fed to them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is why I let my students ask questions. You know, there's a difference between a good question that's challenging and a stupid question. There are such things as stupid questions in the classroom. And a stupid question to me is when it's clearly oriented to disrupt the conversation and to go off on a tangent that's not relevant to what's going on. Those are the questions that I'm like, we're not going to go into that. And usually it's for one of two reasons. Either one, because we've already talked about it. It's already been laid out there. And they're not asking for clarification. They just want to, you know, open up old wounds, I guess. Or it's something that, oh, we're going to talk about this later on. So, yeah. But that's always been my mindset, is whatever comes up in the class is what we talk about. Every class is different, because every class has a different student. And all students as people, as individuals, are different. And all of us experience the world in different ways, meaning all of us ask questions in different ways. And it's always amazing to have those different conversations and to have those different perspectives brought out that leads to the discussion. I love having these discussions. It's always great. Watergash Gamer, what's going on? Roger Ryder, what's going on? Thank you very much for being here. Let's see, how much to pay you as a voice actor to read half a page of Boomer Gary? You don't have to pay me anything. When it comes to doing projects like that or joining streams, I always have one rule. If and when I have time, and that is the biggest thing. It's one of the most difficult things, because I have a very limited amount of free time up until summer. When summer comes around, that's when, especially with Baby Thor going to be full-time daycare this summer, really summer is the only time that I have any sense of free time. That's why I always feel so bad. By the way, apologies to my Chosen of Valhalla, because I know the last several months I've been terrible at planning these. And y'all have had to reach out to me saying, hey, when's the next stream? And I do apologize. Mea culpa. That is totally my fault. Mea culpa. But one of the reasons why is just because there's so many other things going on with school, obviously with family life, and when all of this stuff is going on together, even during my time off, it's like, it's crazy. It goes crazy. Anyway, Brian Barth. Regrettably, Johnny Depp was in decline before the Amber Heard thing. Still love his earlier movies. I still love his earlier movies, too. And that's where, like, I feel like I'm in this, like, in-between, and I feel like there has to be a nuanced approach with Johnny Depp because, okay, two things can be true. One, Johnny Depp was screwed, and Amber Heard is a terrible person, all right? And let's be honest. I think they're both terrible. I personally think they're both terrible. I think Amber Heard is worse. And Amber Heard has not been canceled like Johnny Depp has. And that's wrong. That's just intrinsically and objectively wrong. What can also be true is Johnny Depp had a series of really great performances. He's a very talented actor, but he has kind of hit a wall as a performer. So as ticked as I am that he is out of Fantastic Beasts 3 because of this nonsense, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's a ridiculous reason for him to be out. At the same time, I'm not too upset by it because I was already not a fan of him in that role in the first place. So again, two things can be true. It's a bit of the nuanced discussion. We like nuance here. I'm sure that's our word of the day. That's our word of the day. River Sci-Fi is a member says, Sonic wouldn't be so successful if Hollywood wasn't putting out so much garbage. Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree with you there, for sure. And also because I think a lot of the people who remember what Jeff Fowler did for the fans, and I think a lot of people have a long memory with that one especially, I think that is going to be what actually leads to that film being potentially more successful. Definitely think so. I only bow to God. I had to say, what's your favorite cheesy movie? Oh, I mean, there's so many different types of cheesy movies. There's different genres of cheese. You know, cheese is a very broad topic, but I always think for me, cheese usually comes down to like chick flicks. I don't know why. So I'm going to go with Maid of Honor. One of my favorite chick flicks. Yes, I like chick flicks. Also, was it John Tucker Must Die? I don't know why. I don't know why I like that movie, but I do. 13 going on 30. Now I'm just naming a bunch of chick flicks that I enjoyed. Lefcross says, Moon Knight is my favorite Marvel character in history. Says they're gonna crap on it. Yeah, I think history is definitely something for us to look at there. Rob D, hey, Odin, in light of St. Patrick's Day just passing, have you seen the Disney Channel movie The Luck of the Irish? So first off, yes, Luck of the Irish, phenomenal movie. I love it to my core. The Disney Channel era films of that time were all just great. You had Smart House, of which he was also the lead from Luck of the Irish. I love that one. I love it so much. It's so funny. I guess if you want to talk about even more cheesy films, all of the Disney and all of the Disney original channel movies are, I think, the epitome of what we would describe as cheesy films. And I thoroughly enjoy all of them. I love them. Secondly, with St. Patrick's Day, yeah, I hope everyone had a blessed Feast of St. Patrick. Remember the reason for the season. It's not just a reason to be like, oh, I'm Irish and I'm getting drunk and blah, 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 blah. Again, that stuff drives me nuts. It drives me up the wall because people fail to remember that, oh, it's actually a great feast of a great saint who pretty much single-handedly converted an entire island. Look into some of the stories of St. Patrick. That dude was bad A. That dude was hardcore. And in fact, just before the stream, I was listening to a homily. I was listening to a homily that was about on the Feast of St. Patrick. By the way, Blessed Feast of St. Joseph, as I mentioned before, one of the titles given to St. Joseph is the Terror of Demons. Let's see. Chautism is over on Odyssey. Welcome. So you had a message and it's been removed. Remember, if you have a comment or question, no matter what platform you are on, if you are trying to ask a question or have a comment that you want me to read aloud, just put at Odin at the very beginning of the comment. Just at Odin. Let me know you're trying to get my attention. Let's see. Joe in the Red Shirt says, are you planning to watch Julia on HBO Max? I've seen Julia Child's Kitchen in the Smithsonian and watched her as a kid. Probably not. Haven't heard of that on HBO Max. I saw Julie and Julia, and I actually enjoyed that one. Thought Meryl Streep actually gave a pretty great performance there, despite Meryl Streep being, you know, a terrible person. But Nathan Slay, you're not saying it's weird that I like Akira, are you? No, not at all. I would say most people like Akira. I would say most people would view me weird. Anyone that's a fan of the anime, that is. So, no. That is not what I am saying. That is not what I am saying, good sir. Giggles and Bits, welcome to the channel. Asaj Majodi, welcome to the channel. Hopefully I'm pronouncing names correctly, but I noticed new names and I want to give them shout-outs. I like trying to shout out new people. Or people that I think are good people. Or people that I think are new people. Visit Womat says, watch further. Avery Brooks is awesome as Sisko most of the time. Okay. Watch further into Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Again, I just, the opening, the first episode when he's showing emotion over his family situation with his wife, it was cringe. The acting there was cringe. So yeah, I'm definitely willing to go past the first couple episodes. Definitely looking to dive further into it. And again, if I'm going to do the show with my two guys, I definitely need to have at least a basic knowledge of it, which would require me to watch probably at least a season. Slicer says, believe me, Avery Brooks will warm up to you as an actor. His Sisko is amazing. You just have to wait for the goats. Star Trek always has a shaky first season. Well, again, to me, it's not, is the story going to get better? It's, is his acting going to get better? Because typically that's not something that just happens to change, like, quickly. Normally it takes years. Only Bad Guy says, the best defense for Robin is after death in the family and lonely place of dying graphic novel. That is the best defense for Robin, in my opinion, where they bring in Tim and he explains why. Yeah, again, I wish I had knowledge of the comics, but I don't. Stephanie B, sass, sass, sass. Yes, indeed. We always have nice sass on the channel. Gary Banjo Sandwich, what's going on, good sir? Only about a god. If you became the Pope, I might consider converting to Catholicism. Well, the chances of that happening, not very likely. I think here's the big thing there, not to get on my soapbox for you know, any bit of time. Keep in mind that the Pope is but a vicar. The Pope is but a representative of Christ. The church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And the church is not just the hierarchy. It's all of the members of the faithful, all of the baptized faithful. And the mindset that I always have is, do you say, nope, I'm good outside of Christ, or I need to be a part of Christ? Regardless of who the bishop is, regardless of the Pope, because you all know I have a plethora of thoughts about the modern hierarchy within the church. However, they are not Christ. They do not own Christ. I think it's an important distinction. Andrew Hoyle, who is a member, says, I am also a member on the channel. I live in a country called England. It's next to a smaller country called Wales, and I once invaded into that country, which was bad. Yeah, listen, yeah, you're talking about Wales. How about we talk about Scotland, Andrew Hoyle, where not only do we have invasions going on with Scotland, but then also you have the whole, hey, we want to separate. And you're like, no, you can't. Also, then there's also the whole, you know, y'all, you know, went after us and Tea Party, etc. Verva Sci-Fi, I try not to forget the phrase that government is a necessary evil. No one is going into it is going to come out clean. Very few. Yeah, very, very few. I would say that in history, there's probably been maybe a couple, but it's not a very common thing. And again, government as a necessary evil, again, it requires nuance. Do we need some sense of leadership? Yes. How does that leadership look? That is what should be determined by the people. And that's why it's important for us, so important for us to embrace a concept I mentioned earlier of subsidiarity. The concept of subsidiarity is if a lower unit of a society, a family, a community, a state, a city even, if they can do something better or as good as a higher unit, the principle of subsidiarity from Catholic social teaching demands that they are given the right and that they have the right to do so. So if a family can better educate their children, they have a right to do so. And so whatever structures are in place that might be in place for education have to keep that in mind at all times. Needless to say, it says, sorry, but anybody who hates My Neighbor Totoro is really dead inside. Again, Neighbor Totoro, I think, is great. I think people, if they disliked it, would be more so people that are not fans of that genre, be my guess. Laura says, Deep Space Nine is great. Enjoy. I'm hoping to get to that point. I'm only one and a half episodes. Laura, hanging out with some family tonight. Family, very important. So you all have fun. Mitch Thebo says, watching your videos directed me towards movie gems like Last Night in Soho that would have gone unnoticed by myself otherwise. Thank you. Well, thank you, Mitch. I appreciate that. And yeah, I'm always happy when I'm able to see these smaller independent films that a lot of people typically either don't hear about or don't ever get a chance to see, because there are so many good gems. And I know that it's so easy for us to fall into that trap of, oh, movies are so terrible nowadays, etc. Nothing ever good comes out. And don't get me wrong, I would say that there are a lot worse films coming out mainstream wise these days than I think at almost any other point in history. But there are good films that come out every single year. You know, I would say, of course, Last Night in Soho was a great example of that. I would put the film Nobody up there. I would put the film Wrath of Man up there for TV shows. This year alone, I thoroughly enjoyed All of Us Are Dead, a South Korean zombie apocalyptic film set in a school for a lot of it. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of good stuff that comes out. And it's really, I think, this community, especially my Asgardian community, because I have so many other movie buffs here. I have movie buffs who focus on older classic films and are bringing those to light. I think Tina does a great job, by the way. Shout out to Tina. I saw you in the chat. Tina does a great job of bringing up films that are gems that we need to look at if we have not seen before. And I think that there are others here, too, that do a really great job of saying, hey, but there are these other films. Hardwick, you know, you all know my my rivalry with Hardwick. I haven't seen it in the chat. But he's the one that brought to the attention of a lot of people this film, Old Henry, which I haven't seen yet. But I know a lot of people, everyone who has watched it, has said it was a lot. It was a really good film. So that's what I love about my Asgardian community, is that we all come from different places. I would say, based on my own view, a lot of the people who are part of Asgard are definitely ones that are just over it, that just don't watch a lot of the new stuff. But we have just enough people who watch either selective things or watch everything that can come back in and say, hey, this is a good thing. Or, hey, this is something that's worth talking about. This is something that's worth seeing. And that's what I love about this community, because I think it helps us to remember that there are still good films, there are still good things coming out. And I think it's important for us to remember that even though things might seem bad, there's good things out there. Only About a God says, will you go see John Wick Chapter 4? Yes, I've been a very big fan of the John Wick franchise, and I cannot wait for more. Visible Man says, I'm politically purple, have some conservative views and some liberal classical view, and it mostly boils down to the top current affairs, but sometimes it's people running. Yeah, absolutely. Again, individual person, I think, plays the biggest role for me. And then there are key issues. You know, I'm definitely one who I would be openly admitted to say I'm a two-issue voter, but obviously it's more complicated than that. You know, the two most important issues to me are, do you respect life? Especially the most vulnerable of all lives, right? Babies being protected in the womb. That's a make or break for me. The other, your stance on war. I'm very much of the mindset of non-interventionism. I think getting involved in wars, I think getting involved in the political strifes of others is something that is beyond our capacity, is beyond our rights as a nation, and it only ever leads to bloodshed and destruction, and especially the destruction of so many young people and their families. So, those are two pretty big non-negotiables for me. There's a lot of other things too, but those are probably two of the biggest ones there. But as you can see, that is something that is not specific to one or the other, which is why I usually focus more so on individuals. Coliseum Builders, the difference between the reps and Dems is when Republicans are in charge, the government screws the people. When Democrats are in charge, the people are screwed by the government. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we should hopefully, I hope all of us have awoken to the fact that none of them are good. I hope we recognize that none of them are good. We need to realize that the only way things are going to change is if we focus first on our local governments, our local structures. They've already started to put up signs for a lot of these, school board and other things, other local elections, mayors. Start looking into these people. I know that's part of my homework, is to start looking up these people. And my number one question and my number one thing I'm gonna look into that I think is relevant, especially on a local level, is if there's a town hall, I'm hoping that I can ask a question, because my number one question would be, did you support mask mandates and would you support them in the future? And I'd probably word it a little bit more, cynical than that, as the cynic that I am. I'd be like, so did you support the authoritarian mask mandates and would you support them in the future? And if your answer is yes, get out. All right. Slicer says, I once heard that there are no stupid questions, just a lot of inquisitive idiots. Yeah. I mean, there is truth to that, that there are no stupid questions. I even tell my students that, I'm like, all right, there's no stupid questions. However, the way I explain it is, there is no stupid question unless it is a stupid question. And by that, I mean, you can ask a question because you don't know something. That's not stupid. But if you're going to ask something that you know and you recognize is inappropriate, or that you know and recognize has no relevance to what we're talking about, okay, that is what I would define as stupid. It's like, for any time I ask them to fill out a journal, I say it's not graded for a correct answer, because a lot of these questions and a lot of these journals are purely subjective. But if you write down last night on NFL, last night at the NFL game, blah, 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 I'm going to say, yeah, that has nothing to do with what I asked you to do. So therefore you get no credit. That would be an example of a stupid comment versus stupid, et cetera. Awesome One says, I love people called out. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Awesome One says, I apologize for Odin apologizing. It's okay to apologize. It's okay to apologize. It takes a real man. It takes a real woman to apologize. It takes a person who recognizes and understands themselves to apologize. There's nothing wrong with apologizing. There's nothing wrong with apologizing. I know that we live in an era, and I know that we live in a community where apologizing is seen as weakness and is seen as a terrible thing. I'm not saying that you bow to the mob. You never bow to the mob. You never apologize to the mob. But when you make mistake, owning your mistakes is how you grow. And guess what? Owning your mistake is one of the very aspects of an apology, in a lot of ways. So again, nuance, very important. Nuance, always very important. Over on Odyssey, what's going on? The R says, can't help it, I'm a fan of Depp, Scissorhands, Benny and June, Fear and Loathing, Sleepy Hollow, etc. Again, I like his stuff too. I like a lot of the films that he's done, but he has definitely, I think, hit a bit of a lull. I don't think he's adding a whole lot to his characters these days. And then the R says, I do have to say the Pirates movies are whatevs. I like the first Pirates film. I think Black Pearl is phenomenal. The second one's fine. I thought the ending was pretty cool. And then The third one was just, and then there was more after that. By the way, the fourth one, I believe it's the fourth one, maybe it's the third one, whatever one, I think it's the fourth one, that has the romance between the mermaid and the Christian minister. That was the only interesting part of the film. So I will defend that part. Joe the Red Shirt says, have you seen The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara? Yes, I think that we confirmed that earlier. Is that's the one when they go to Ireland? Yes, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was great. Awesome One says, Welsh Revival was epic too. Is that another John Wayne or is that something else? I always need context. Isav says, St. Patrick and also St. Gertrude, patron saint of Mousers. Of Mousers? I'm not getting that. I'm not understanding. Ellen Badaga, Richard is probably the best show on Prime, as probably the least woke stuff in it, I think. Reacher, I think is what he meant to say. Reacher, yeah. Soul Assassin, you're throwing me back here. Phantom of the Megaplex, Suzy Q, Under Wraps, Good Times. Oh, yes. Oh, Suzy Q with the pink Power Ranger. That's all I remember. She was definitely like my first crush growing up, pink Power Ranger. Kimberly, the pink Power Ranger. Under Wraps is so phenomenal. Now, anytime I ever hear the song All By Myself, all I can think about is Under Wraps. And Phantom of the Megaplex is a hidden gem because of just the fact that, here, guys, Mickey Rooney, legendary Mickey Rooney, is in a Disney Channel original movie, Phantom of the Megaplex, where he plays Movie Max. And it's my favorite character. I love whenever he talks about movies. It's always phenomenal. Visit Womat says, mermaid romance, that sounds like wishful. No, it's a part of the story. It's a part of the story, and it's actually compelling and interesting. They're the most compelling characters in that entire film. Marcus Cato, what's going on? Only About a God. Man, you're tagging a lot, bruh. Says, Reacher is my favorite Prime show. Yeah. So I think that was just clarifying was Reacher. Coliseum Builders says, I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. My cats insist I celebrate St. Gertrude the same day, the patron of St. Ah, okay. The Mousers. The Mousers is the cats. Gotcha. That makes a lot more sense. You can still celebrate St. Patrick's Day, the Feast of St. Patrick. One of the best ways to celebrate the feast is actually by reading, it's called the Breastplate of St. Patrick, or it's sometimes known as the Lorica. That's the one where it's Christ behind me, Christ within me. It's a beautiful prayer. Like, I rise today. There's different translations for it, but it is beautiful. There's one, I want to find the traditional version of it. If any of my track cats in the chat know what it is, like the traditional translation, which is oftentimes used because there is actually a prayer of exorcism in the long form of that. Reach out to me if you do. I always love learning new things. The Twicky Kid says, not sure if I remember any specific Catholic themes in Deep Space Nine. All that Bajoran prophetic talk seemed more New Agey. Well, I think that it's in looking at that and looking at the concept of how religion is viewed and the impact that it has. And again, I haven't seen it. I have not seen all of it, so I can't say one for the other. But I can say that if anyone's going to be able to really deep dive and go into some of the deeper symbolism there, I think Ryan Grant and Anthony Stein, who are going to be my partners in that, are definitely going to be able to lay out the arguments pretty well and to lay out the commentary pretty well. It's not, by the way, it's not just going to be a religious review of the show. It's going to be a general review of the show. And I just think that that's going to be one of the layers that we dive into, because all of us are going to be, you know, traditionally Catholic minded people. Brian Barth, anything directed by Hayao Miyazaki is incredible. Japanese Walt Disney. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. He is just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Oh, bad of God, do you believe tattoos are a sin against God? I personally believe that you shouldn't do it, but at the same time, I don't think it's terrible because I have arguments on both sides. Yeah, there's arguments to be had on both sides. I think that it really, for me, it comes down to, again, a much more nuanced understanding. Why are you getting the tattoo? What is the purpose of the tattoo? Is the tattoo for you? Or is the tattoo meant to be able to be used as an evangelization tool, right? So if someone has like a cross on their arm, and it's because they know they're in a business where their arm is seen constantly, and they choose it specifically to be an evangelization tool because people look and say, oh, what kind of tattoo is that? And then boom, that starts the discussion. I think that's one way of looking at it versus if you're doing it for yourself, if you're doing it just because, I think that, again, the mindset that you have going into it, the reasoning you get into it, all of those play a role into it. Do I think that it is one of the gravest sins that we are dealing with right now in our age? Absolutely not. Do I think you're going to hell just because you have a tattoo? Absolutely not. But do I think it's a good thing? I would say most likely not. But I think that if one is using it for evangelization purposes, then one could potentially look at it that way. All right. Let's see. Laura says, don't forget K-Man's recommendation of the Giant Ode movie. Yes, that's right. K-Man is also coming with phenomenal recommendations. And one of them that was really, really good was one that featured Giant. So if you ever watched Friday Night Tights in the intro where you see the Giant Odin, yeah, that's from an actual movie that you can find online. Joey Horn and Andrew Hoyle both talking about how Old Henry is phenomenal. Yes, I cannot wait to see that, as I just got sent a picture from my brother's wedding. So at my wedding, one of the things that I did, he didn't know that I was going to do it, was I lifted him up, and there's this really great photo because he's about 5'8", I'm 6 feet, so he's, you know, kind of the runt of the family. So I'm lifting him up, and it's just great picture. And I wanted to reenact that one, and so he just sent that to me, and so it just popped up my wrist. I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. I got a lot more height this time around. Let's see. Laura says, okay, got that one. Geek Truth tagged to say, sorry, I'm just joining. Enjoy DS9. It really hits its stride season 3. Don't bother with new Trek. It isn't Trek. I never planned to. Again, I'm going into Deep Space Nine not having watched really any of the other Star Trek. I grew up watching a few episodes of Next Generation, but that's pretty much it. So I'm going in mostly blind to a lot of the Star Trek stuff. Only Bad Guy says never vote Democrat. They're too much I disagree with on side. Not Republican, though. Conservative, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there is a difference. There is definitely a difference. And that's why I will never support either party as a party. I think both parties are terrible. I go by the individual person. Give you a great example of that. I look at a lot of the things that someone like Tulsi Gabbard talks about. She is technically someone who was a part of the Democratic Party for a very long time. There are things that I disagree with her wholeheartedly on. I think that her view of, for instance, the right to life is not where I wish it to be. But she is spot on in so many other areas, especially with cancel culture, especially with the power of social media. So, again, we have to, you know, find our battles. Only Bad God, I'm sorry, dude. I'm going to have to start skipping some comments because we're about 8 down. We're about 8 minutes down, and you have been tagging a lot. So I want to give some other people some time and attention to not have to worry about them being skipped. Versus Sci-Fi, a certain party has been pushing post-birth. Oh, no, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, just because one party is intrinsically evil, and I think that I can say that, it does not make the other party or any other party intrinsically good by any stretch of the imagination. So, all right, let us see. Awesome One says, there are so many young people these days can't handle making mistakes and people pointing them out. Mistakes are how we learn. Exactly. Mistakes are how we learn, without any shadow of a doubt. Mistakes are how we learn, and admitting those mistakes. Now, I speak as someone who's incredibly hard-headed, but I'm also honest in that I very rarely make mistakes. But when I do, if my wife heard that, she'd be like, smack me in the head. But when I do, I try to own up to them. I do. You know, there might be some trolls out there who hate me and hate my channel and everything like that. There was some random person who did like a hate video against me. And it's sad when some of my students are like, yeah, this one person did a hate video again. I was like, I don't care. You know, it doesn't make anything to me. The only thing I hate about it, the only thing that makes me mad about it, is that y'all saw that and some of y'all listened to that And some of y'all were having to listen to someone talk about one of your teachers in this way, and I'm not okay with that. And a couple of them took it to the point where it's like, are you going to do a response? No. No, because that's just not what I do. But I made mistakes too. I remember one of the ones that I bring up a lot because I think it's always relevant is I remember I tried to play gatekeeper with Super Chats. I remember when it really came to light and I fully understood how much money YouTube takes out of every single Super Chat and the alternatives that exist where they don't. I remember I was like, all right, I'm turning off Super Chats. I remember I was tagging people on Twitter saying, hey, y'all need to do this too. Y'all need to do this as well. And I remember it was Jeremy who called me out on that. We had a conversation behind the scenes and we left just, you know, back on great terms. And he opened my eyes to say, yeah, no, I was absolutely playing gatekeeping there by calling for and pressuring other people to do the same. And then eventually what did I do? I said, okay, I'm going to open it back up. And if you want to use it, you can. But I recommend using the other one if you really want to use it. You know, if you really want to use it. For the very reasons that I mentioned. Yeah, Amy Jo Johnson. Yep. First crush. DadmanWalk55, what is going on? All right, only about a guy. I've skipped a few of your comments, so I'll read this one. Phantom of the Megaplex is awesome. You just took me back to my childhood. Dude, it's so great. Dude, having Mickey Rooney coming out just singing, Hooray for Hollywood. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment in the film. Forever Sci-Fi says, Reacher was good. Can't believe that's the guy who was Aquaman on Smallville. Ooh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I like Smallville, so I'll actually be happy to see that. Let's see. Saj says, Cats in Poland, you are named for your saint's feast day. 17th of March was my grandmother's birthday. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Very cool. Very, very cool. The R also showing the other alternative over on Odyssey. He just gave a $5 hyper chat donation because on Odyssey you can do hyper chats, and just like with Streamlabs, Odyssey does not take a gigantic cut of that. So the R says here, okay, here is using the other one. This is exactly one of the other ones that you can use for sure. Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about whether you're using Streamlabs, whether you're using just PayPal, whether you're using Odyssey, is that the company does not take a massive chunk of the funds and you get it within a few days. Whereas with YouTube, they take 30% of it and then you wait a month. And by that point, you're unless you're actually following every single one, which I don't do because for me, it's like, okay, this is a hobby. And if I get a deposit, I'm like, oh, great. This is just money that I can put forward to get more Blu-rays and 4Ks for myself, but also mostly for giveaways and other things like it. It's just, yeah. All right. For Sci-Fi, Reacher was good. Got that one already. Only Bad of God says, if you would prefer me not to tag as much, I understand. I will stop. Again, Only Bad of God, no problem at all with any tags. It's just that when one person typically dominates a conversation, that's when I sometimes say, hey, talk to each other. Again, this community is phenomenal. So that's why if y'all are having conversation with each other, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But especially when I get closer to the end of streams and I fall behind a lot on chats, which it's been, you know, pretty fine today. What I hate doing is I hate getting to the point where because of the timing, I have to skip comments. And if someone has tagged a lot and I've spent a lot of time on them, that's the only reason when it becomes a problem. So no, again, nothing against anyone who tags. It's just, just be a little bit more aware that if you want to have a conversation with other people about certain topics and then say, oh, I really want to hear you talk about X or really want you to mention this, you know, save it for that. Let's see. Geek Truth says the Bajorans were really used to introduce the idea of faith and how it can exist alongside with the universe of technology. Okay, talking there about Deep Space Nine. For Sci-Fi, pretty sure most people who were drinking on Thursday think St. Patrick's Day is St. Patrick is the guy who brought Guinness to Ireland. Yeah. You know, even worse, you know, the wedding that I went to last weekend, they had a St. Patrick's Day parade on Sunday on Sunday, which is already a problem for me, because you're having a parade for a saint whose feast day it was not last Sunday, and you're having it on a Sunday, which this is a saint, meaning you should be spending that time in Mass. You should be spending this time celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass, not going to a parade. So there was a lot of problems that I had with it. But yeah, if there's any feast day, I think gets completely destroyed and totally misunderstood, it is absolutely do research. In fact, Saint Patrick has confessions. You know, there's a well-known spiritual work, the Confessions of Saint Augustine, which just means it's just his own talk. It's really, it's his own autobiography, I guess you can say. I would highly recommend checking out that, checking out other things too, to see what he was really all about. I think it's so important for us to know these things. Zaj says, it's always good to have a Polish friend on Fat Tuesday. They bring Popska's donuts. Yes, 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 yes. Or people who understand, right, that it's, you know, not just Fat Tuesday, but Shrove Tuesday, and the concept of pancakes and other things. Like, again, the true understanding of what Fat Tuesday was meant to be instead of what it's become. It's become a breeding ground for sinful behavior. And Lord knows these people aren't planning to go to confession that day or the next day. And if people are using it as an excuse to say, oh no, I'm going to do all these sins now and then I'll start taking it seriously during Lent, you're missing the entire purpose of it. And it's sad. It's incredibly sad. All right, we are right at time, so I'm going to try and get through as many of these last comments as I can. Forever Sci-Fi, both parties leading us into the same bad place. They just wear different masks doing it. Forever Sci-Fi, amen. I don't think I could have said it better myself. Visit Mom says, when you get there, tell us your opinion of Benjamin Sisko's pimp. Okay, I'll try to remember that. It's a very specific thing there for sure. Yeah, Raven Awards coming up. Please, if you have not voted in this year's Wednesday Raven Awards, make sure you fill out your ballot. Just a couple weeks left. I believe the Oscars are March 27th. So that is going to be when the Wednesday Raven Awards are, in our boycott of and protest of the Oscars. So make sure you vote. Make sure you get your votes in. So that way we can determine the best and the worst of that year. Laura says, the good thing about Streamlabs is you don't need 1,000 follower subs. Exactly. You can start a YouTube channel tomorrow, have 10, 20 subs, and as long as you're connected with Streamlabs, someone can donate to you. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things I love about it. Also, Odyssey, though they do have certain restrictions, is also a lot easier, I think, as far as the standards and the requirements needed to get a lot of stuff, to get a lot of that stuff going, as it were. But yeah, absolutely. All right, I think that's about it. Let me see if there's anyone else. See, Joey Horn is a member, says, the St. Patrick movie that came out a couple of years ago was pretty good. There was a St. Patrick movie that came out a couple of years ago? Please tell me more. DM me more information about that so I can check that out. 0 hour Jam Cruise, yeah man, welcome. You just hit the end of the stream, but hey, that's okay. I lent you 30 days, so do better, says Awesome One. I see what you did there. Alrighty. And boom. All right, that's all of the comments that were there. So I want to give a huge shout out to Stephanie B, Tina B, My Valkyrie. A huge shout out as well to Laura. Thanks for hanging out and staying around. Again, huge shout out to everyone for watching the stream tonight. You could have done a lot of other things for Saturday evening, so spending it with me really does mean a lot. So Laura's cooking some salmon for dinner. Sounds delightful. Sounds delicious. Don't ever forget about, you know, why it is that we do what we do. And also the more important, deeper aspects of the life that we are called to live. Again, so I hope that everyone has had a blessed Lent. I hope everyone tomorrow has a blessed third Sunday of Lent, going into the third week of Lent. Today, of course, the Feast of St. Joseph. So, blessed Feast of St. Joseph, the terror of demons. So, pray for his intercession, especially for those in family life, to pray for the protection of the family. And I'll be praying for all of you as my guardian family, and praying for anyone who has been going through any difficulties. I know that we have a lot of times people who bring their intentions forward, and it's always great for us to be able to come together and to offer those prayers to everybody, and to unite our prayers together as a family. So thank you all very much for being here. For those that I asked to reach out for information, please, if you can, please go ahead and do that. Also, if you are on the Discord and you are on the Army of Asgard level, you are in the giveaways channel. You know who you are. There's still a giveaway that's live. Some people have won. I think I'm just waiting on Jonathan Carney to confirm his win. I'll be announcing further winners soon. It's not over yet either. You can still continue to enter in there, as I'm getting blown up right now with photos from the wedding. Oh, that's very exciting. Can't wait to check those out. Anyway, thank you all so very much. Shout out to the members on the channel. Also, Andrew Hoyle, it says here that you became a Patreon member once again, which reminds me, next weekend, everybody, next Saturday, 12 p.m., Eastern time, we're looking to start. We'll have our Chosen of Valhalla live stream. Captain Trek, absolutely, will offer prayers for you, man. I'll be looking out for that as best as I can. So, prayers out in your way as well. But yeah, Chosen of Valhalla stream will be next Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Looks like Andrew Hoy will be back in the game. I'm not seeing it on the actual Patreon proper, so I might have to check out tomorrow. Sometimes the system takes a while to update. I just saw the notification 8 hours ago. It says Andrew Hoy has pledged. So we'll confirm that and maybe invite you back into the Chosen chat. We'll have to wait and see, of course. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Again, blessed Feast of St. Joseph. Blessed rest of your Lent. See you all on Tuesday. Have a wonderful day. And as always, God bless. And now for a huge shout out to all of my March Patreon Subscribestar and Locals members. Starting off first with my Patreon members, animation commentator Brandon, let's go Brandon, Brian P., Christopher Bowman, Father Christopher Miller, hail to you, Father. Father Damian Cook, Fuzz Aldrin, Garrett Searles, Hannibal Grimm, Harold Francis, Hymir Ari Hymison, Inflamed Wood, Jacob Juice, Jeff Toon, Joe Horn, Jonathan Carney, Gomer Kyle 79, Laura, the Modern Major General Story, Mike Jackson, Mad Mitch Dunaway, Mondo Spieler, Mr. Peabody, On to June, Orange Hat Reviews, Out of Step with Reality, Rosetta Allen, Stan Andrian, Miss Martin Muses, Theodore Benden, Tina Bojan, and of course, Tina B, the Empress of the Universe. Also, shout out to my Subscribestar members, starting off with Trent Johnson, Matt 317, UAB Mad Dog, Mike Jackson, Storm Tracker, The R, Nosferatu Gatsu, Stan 4, John B, Mr. Roy, Glinzer, J. Alex McCarthy Jr., Dean Heist / the new number 2, Jera the Beer Guru, and ZK Man. And a final shout out to my Locals members, Kara Tharp, UAB Mad Dog, Mike Jackson, and Robert Barnes. Thank you all so very much for being supporters, monthly supporters of the channel. And if you want your name shout out at the end of every single live stream and every single video, please check out the pinned, the very top link in the video description. It is noted as the Willow link there. It'll bring you to basically a link tree of all the different places that you can support on Patreon, Subscribestar, or on Locals. And also there are other tiers that you can get access to as well, including an Army of Asgard level where you get not only the shout out, but you also get access to a giveaways channel that I have on my Discord where you get offers of giveaways, or rather you get access to giveaways of 4K titles, Blu-rays, digital codes, all kinds of stuff, steelbooks, It's just, I'm giving away stuff all the time over there, and it's a lot of fun as well. So go check that out if you're interested. There's also the Keeper of the Bifrost level, which is the higher level up than that, and you get all everything from the previous tiers. Plus, you get access to a once or twice a month podcast that I do with John the Flickpick Flickinger, where you get to ask us Q&A, right? You get to ask us questions, any question that you like, movie or non-movie related. We will answer them once, maybe twice a month. We're trying to work on a second opportunity for us to have a show, but right now, at least once a month. So again, you get access with that with the Keeper of the Bifrost level. And then there is the Chosen of Valhalla level, the very premium level, where you get access to all of those things. Plus, you get to be featured on the channel once a month with me and the other Chosen members, where we talk about movies and stuff. Anything really that the Chosen want to talk about. And it's always a very fun discussion. We usually have about three and a half hour discussion. So again, that's what you get access to at the Chosen of Valhalla level. Also, you get a free t-shirt during your first month. All you need to do is just let me know what t-shirt you want from the store and also their size, location, etc. And I send those out anywhere in the world. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Thank you all so very much again for your love and for your support. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, God bless.